Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. What are you chewing over there?
My cud.
Bill ran out of the room, came back chewing. I don't know what's going on out there. Oh, my gosh. So, my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find all sorts of information about us. You can, we have emails and phone numbers and lots of archives going back to 2010 at wethepeopleradio.us. And so if you want to complain or give suggestions or, you know, all that kind of stuff, the information's all on there for you. And sponsor this hour. Are you done chewing? I don't want you to be talking with your mouth full because people will know.
I come prepared for business always. Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local John Deere Kubota dealer. And they are at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, up there next to Phil's Propeller.
And I know the phone number because they say it all the time, but they always say 226-9226.
Yeah.
It's really 226.
9226, that's right. And, yeah, if you're looking for a Kubota or John Deere tractor, go up there and give them a call. They're running service specials right now. So if you have a mower or a tractor, it needs to get kind of freshened up before the springtime hits, go in there and see them. They can get you going and get you back in the field and going to work.
People are probably thinking, well, with all this rain and then weird snow we drove through last night, probably not going to need a mower right away.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard it's supposed to get hot, though. It'll be like hot next week.
It'll be overnight. We go from rain to summer.
From winter to summer.
That's right. Yeah. So go see Team Power at 3119 Twin View Boulevard.
Just north of Reading.
Just north of Reading and Shasta Lake.
And
there we have it.
There you go. All right. So, moving on. We are chatting with Bruce Moran this hour. He's a national security advisor with Security Solutions Technologies. And Bruce is a regular contributor. How about that? That's a good word for it. We've had Bruce on bunches of times. We talk about all sorts of things. He did send us a document I tried to print online, but I had to just post it as a PDF. Sorry about that. About FISA warrants, the ever-looming topic of FISA, things that we never wanted to know. Really, we were like happy that the government was doing whatever. I'm using the word happy in air quotes. they were off doing their own thing, and now we have to all learn about it so that we can follow along with what's happening.
Right.
Otherwise, it makes no sense.
I'd kind of like to talk about the John Bolton appointment too before we.
Oh, it's not up to you. It's up to Bruce.
I know. We'll squeeze it in though, right, Bruce?
Yes, sir. Still an appointment. Strong personality, works well with General Mattis and General Kelly. As you know, General Kelly is the Chief of Staff and General Mattis is Department of Defense. So you need people in place now to handle North Korea, Syria, which is still in question with ISIS. We routed, President Trump made sure ISIS was routed out of Iraq. ISIS still has remnants down on the shores of Libya, but interspersed through Libya, and they're doing slave trade there. Everything's just up in arms. So AFRICOM has its hands full. AFRICOM is the arm of the military, and it handles all of Africa. So that's the short term for AFRICOM.
Well, John Bolton's been around a long time. I mean, he's got a pretty good handle on what's going on over there, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. It goes all the way back to Bush. We were in, Iraq. You know, he has a lot of, experience through the years of handling, and he's on various committees now. You know, he's at AEI. We're all kind of intersecting, at the Heritage Foundation, a very strong group of economic freedom that helps establish a protocol with the Wall Street Journal that's at Bonner, at Meese, Jim Carafano, Becky Dunlap. What a crew they have there, and John Bolton's very well acquainted with them. They've been working together over the years. He's familiar with Grover Norquist. It's ATR. Grover's the head of, as you know, the group that heads up the tax reform that we had going here. The president's initiative was taken off the ground, had a large impact on the economy. So John is well familiar with all these different issues and concerns, like now with China, with the intellectual property rights. That's why I mentioned Grover Norquist's name. It dovetails into everybody in Washington that can add and contribute to help out with the national security program that John's going to bring to the table and help make it more fluid, make it a stronger policy. The previous administrations had weaker policy in Iraq. As you know, ISIS came in and ran right through Mosul, established a headquarters there and there in Raqqa, which is Syria. And then we look at North Korea. Nobody in the last 25, 30 years, as President Trump has really pointed out, had a firm foundation on handling North Korea. Now they're coming to the table with us. And John Bolton's from the same cut of the cloth. He understands that. He's worked with it. He's able to handle it and then work with everybody in the State Department. As you know, we have a new head of the State Department, Pompey. We have a new head of national security, which is John Bolton. So he's going to be able to get a better handle on what has gone down and what the president wants. It's going to be a president's initiative. You work at the request of the president. He's bringing in a whole new group of people here to bring forth this policy and his programs to be instituted through the entire executive branch. That's all the departments and agencies from top to bottom. As you know, there's been pushback. So John Bolton will help formulate the policy, the programs, along with General Mattis and Pompey and Kelly to bring a very strong formative program on national security forward. And I can say more, but I think that's enough to cover that particular topic.
And he's not particularly shy either, so it isn't like he's going to take, you know, a long time to get that done.
Oh, that'll be very interesting because they're all very strong personalities. And the president, of course, you know, he has his idea about foreign policy that needs to change. And they've gone about making substantive changes, especially when you're coming to the table with North Korea. It's never been done.
Right.
And I think that's a remarkable, you know, part of the mission of the National Security Council and the president that has to be really recognized and understood as being a pinnacle part of something that's never been done before. And then they'll be addressing Iran and the deal that went down with Iran. You had all kinds of different intersecting, I would say, nefarious actors, you know, Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and different forms of terrorist, which we're getting into almost immediately here, is counterterrorism, which you have to have a warrant for from the FISA Commission. So these are the kind of things that when you start to take a look at the broader base of national security, you're going to firm it up with John Bolton in there, and he's going to get a lot of help, you know, from people around him. He'll be bringing in a different team probably to clear out some of the people that were there before. You still have people that were there from the previous administration.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, he might bring in some other people to help out, round out.
Yeah, because that's been
a larger perspective on a newer dynamic program and a new dimension for national security.
Cut back on some of the undermining.
Yeah, because that's been a huge problem, and it's getting turned around a little bit. But I agree. I think there's still too much of the old administration in there, kind of having their way, and I think it's going to take somebody like John Bolton to get in there and root this stuff out and get everything back on the right track.
The media, of course, is demonizing him because, you know, he's a crazy person, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of funny.
We'll see.
But it tells
you
he's a good guy if they're demonizing him. Hasn't even started yet. Got to take a really quick break, have a little celebration of capitalism here, and we will be back with our guest, Bruce Moran.
We're going to start chatting about FISA. If you would like to do a little reading ahead of time, you can find it online.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets. It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
Send them all to their maker and he'll settle them down.
You can bet he'll set them down.
Cause justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune and we'll back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men.
whiskey for my men.
Pretty decent lead-in for the FISA process.
All right, Mr. Moran, what do you have?
Where
would you like to start?
As you can see, I've taken on a more serious tone. For
I this. Know. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. Well,
nice.
It has to do with covert operations. That's what FISA warrants for. And I hand it to all our people in the military and intelligence community. It's my special honor to them when they conduct covert operations anywhere around the world and domestically, they're put at risk. They are put at risk. Their families are put at risk. And this is all about. It's about them, the methods, and the sources. And American people need to understand it. This is very, very serious work. It's supposed to be founded on espionage work and covert operations, counterterrorism. And if we moved it to a political realm, well, things are moved to a political realm. But if it's weaponized, then it has to be taken under very serious advisement. They have a special counsel, which Trey Gowdy had talked about, Charles Grassley, Senator Grassley. And
you mean using the Foreign Intelligence
Surveillance? That's why I'm talking seriously about it, because there's a lot of flags that come up, and if we're putting people at risk, and it comes in so many different forms and fashions today, and if you're not only looking at it, you know, they're saying, no, cybersecurity. It's not only cybersecurity. It's people on the ground, people doing things, and if they get their covers blown, Christopher Steele, who had put together the dossier in a very short fashion, his cover was blown about 7 years ago. He had to get out of Europe. This is how serious this is. Or you get killed or you get compromised and your family can get strong-armed.
Right.
And then they're held hostage. So these are things, and Christopher Steele knows this for a fact, and he's worried about it now because now he's part of a U.S. investigation and he might be, you know, brought up before the court, and it's 5 years for perjury. He can go to, you know, jail himself. So that's what I'm saying. It's very serious in that context.
Why would he do that? I mean, it seems kind of silly that he put himself in that position.
You know, he had a different position. He thought the Trump administration was not, or President Trump himself, you know, he didn't want him to be president. So if he decided that and he decided to create a dossier to, you know,
invent,
which would be used as a foundation of evidence for a FISA court, then, you know, that was his prerogative. You know, you can't tell people what to do and how to do it. He might have had other motives, but that's for him to answer for himself as an individual. You know, I can't judge him that way. I can see what was done and look at the effects of how it had on the FISA court and the warrant itself, and that's what we're talking about. Why was that kind of evidence presented to a FISA court? Here we have a special agent. They're not saying it that way. They're saying MI6. He's a special agent. He does covert operations, and he put together a dossier on a president-elect. Why are we having a special agent from a foreign country investigate a president-elect? That's a question you ask.
Right.
And if it's, you know, if this is a dossier and it's information that was fallacious and didn't have any bearing and they got a warrant for it, we have a serious problem here. And that's what Trey Gowdy was saying, Charles Grassley, and Lindsey Graham. We've got to find out what happened, to what extent, and who was involved, how the information was gathered. And they call it harvesting. When you harvest information, you don't always find out all the way down. Think of a pyramid like Giza, and it goes all the way down. A lot of information coming up isn't traceable because it's for, you know, plausible deniability purposes. So this is something that has to be answered in a court and with the general counsel investigating different people who are part of this FISA warrant itself.
You've been around this.
It's the process, the FISA war process.
Right. You've been around this a long time. What's your thoughts? I mean, what do you think's going to come of this? I mean, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously.
Have a general counsel.
Yeah, it's obviously.
I mean, a chief counsel to investigate and find out what actually happened.
Right.
I mean, you have other players I wrote in this. You know, you have the judges. You know, there you had to go through several judges in a FISA court. It's usually not culpable upon the judges. It's mostly the DOJ, the Department of Justice, and the FBI that present the evidence. But we don't know, and how is that going to be reviewed? How do you review a FISA court judge? Maybe, as I put later in the report that I gave to you, the paper, that the Supreme Court may have to do a more of a oversight of the FISA court and the judges and what they do, because technology changes, espionage techniques change, people in, you know, covert operations are changing all the time, how they're doing things, where they're going, what the laws are that prohibit them from doing certain things, and how they can do certain things, and what's given them the probability of being successful, you know, given the FISA warrant. All that has to be taken under consideration under national security. Now, people aren't talking about the FISA warrant as a national security vehicle. It is the highest top secret warrant you can get.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about everybody that's fulfilling their obligations to the United States and the intelligence community and law enforcement. I don't want them at risk.
Sure.
I don't want them to be, their covers to be blown.
Well, do you think
I don't want them to feel that people in government are politicizing and weaponizing the government secret warrant.
Do you think do you think the judges were misled?
It appears to be so.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much evident that has to be brought before a grand jury and let them make a decision on, you know, the course of action to take. It's a rule of law that has to be followed here.
What's the penalty?
Jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national security problem.
Right. Right. And you know, it gets back to what everybody is saying. You know, you can't have
Steele. He lied, and you know that's 5 years.
But he's not
over in England with a family. You know, and kids. And if he has to go, he has to go, and he has to. He may have to testify.
Will he be? Can he be extradited?
We'll have to see. I don't know. I mean, that's in the workings of the court itself.
Right.
How they to, you know, prosecute if there is a, or test, have them testify. This is all the legal side of the matter that the court takes up with the new chief counsel, you know, that will be there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be similar to Mueller, but I hope, you know, as Lindsey Graham was saying and Charles Grassley was saying, it's somebody outside of Washington so you don't have it tainted and the American people can feel more comfortable with somebody who is
well, hopefully not somebody who supervised a bunch of bad guys in the past. Well, it's interesting to me that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA Act, was first put in 1978. So it's been operating for a long time. I mean, I'm old. I was in high school then. Bill's probably out of high school. He's older than I am.
But I was in law school back then.
I was in law school.
Did you think about it when you're going to the junior prom?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, we never even heard about this at all until just recently. So it's either
it's operated well, or quietly.
Yeah, or I mean, was it being run properly? Is that why we never heard of it? It's always a dangerous assumption with government.
Brings it into question now of how to have oversight. Now, the Supreme Court has a responsibility for the judges, but, you know, and the executive branch and how they execute a FISA warrant. And it's a national security matter. It's counterterrorism. It's spying. It has a lot of larger implications to protect every individual citizen in the United States.
Well, isn't it kind of set up to, you know, you have to... It was set up to assume that people would be honest when coming forth with information and presenting it to a judge, especially one of our government agencies.
Well, it's the intelligence community that utilizes it.
Yeah,
so,
well, now it looks like we have to kind of change it a little bit to protect us from these agencies that are weaponizing this information.
That's right, and weaponizing the warrant in the process of getting
right.
And politicizing it. So
and the judges
political and weaponizing together, That's pretty bad.
Well, and the judges wouldn't necessarily know, right? Would the judges know that the evidence was bad? They actually would just make the decision with what they're given.
Ask them the question, you know.
Yeah.
Usually,
tricky.
The judges go by what evidence is presented to them. They make a decision on it.
Right.
I say usually, you know, and that's the normal.
Well, that's what they should do.
Process, and they know the laws that have to be interpreted to issue a FISA warrant. But if the judges themselves were part of it, it's generally not going to be the case. But if they happen to be the case, and you're only going to find it out through having a special counsel ask the questions and bring the judges up, if they have to bring the judges up. I don't know this. That's what I'm saying. It's usually not the judges, but if a judge is compromised or been politicized in his beliefs and issued a warrant that way, then their judge got to go, too.
Right. Who's the judge who was like the cocktail party judge, and then he recused himself from the process? Wasn't he the FISA guy?
Yeah, that was Contreras, and he also had a relationship with
Strzok,
FBI
right?
agent, you know.
Yeah, the idiot texter.
No, well, you can't say it's good or bad. You have to know what it was, to what extent it was, who
right.
was married, who wasn't married. Could it have been compromised for national security reasons? Remember when that happened to Petraeus?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so we can take that
General
example.
Petraeus?
If that existed there, then there's a problem there. If it didn't exist, then Lisa, you know, Page and Couture just had a relationship, you know. And that's, Washington's a small group of people, and they all know each other, and, you know, if they had a relationship, that's their business, you know. If it went outside the scope of that, it could have caused national security problems, you know, like I'm talking about. And then that's in a different, I don't know. And I can't make an assessment of that, but that is something, you know, you can bring to the table, and it should be asked. And that should be totally cleared. If it's just a normal, you know, sincere relationship and there is no problems in national security that people can be compromised in, they're fine. If it went beyond the scope and, you know, like they had a problem with Petraeus, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Were they really having dinner, or was it the dinner party with the shill guests to make it look like they were having the dinner party so they could actually talk about stuff? And that
a really good question.
It just looks bad.
I don't know. Since I come from an investigative background, I can see all these things as probabilities. You see what I mean? But how do you weigh them? Is it true? Is it false? You know, is it fact? Is it fiction? You know, that's what we're looking at. And when you can't make mistakes here because these are people's lives. But it looked like it was loosey-goosey when they're putting the dossier together and they didn't care about the people's lives they impacted, like Michael Flynn, you know, and you know, Page, and different people. So if it was politically weaponized and they did it in such a manner and it didn't impact the court or a court judge, but most likely it would be the Department of Justice and the FBI at that level, you know, and those who signed on to the warrant. As you saw, we have the information on there for people to look at it. You know, as Director Comey, you know, Deputy Director McCabe, and these are things that have to be closely looked at, that they followed suit, that they were straightforward, honest, and there wasn't any agenda.
Well, McCabe already burned up on that category. Let's talk about him when we come back. Andy McCabe.
I'm trying to keep it simple, but there's a lot of information that goes along with this that we can talk about, but I don't want to make it too complex and
all right.
sound.
You be the straight man. We'll cast all the aspersions when we return.
<All right>.
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah, we all know you got plenty of those, that's for sure.
Yeah, we sure do. You stay off the phone when we're out.
Last night. cheap.
I literally drive back and forth to Siskiyou County with my phone in my hand, taking pictures of my Sirius radio for as long as I can. Get right down. Is it on? Oh, I thought you were just playing around.
No, your mic's hot there, girl.
Oh.
Just keep
How going. Hot? Hot. There you go. I was like, what do you mean? All right, your mic's hot. I thought we were just messing around. Okay, so back to Andy McCabe, speaking of people who are just messing around.
Yeah. He's not a very happy camper today, I don't think.
He's a liar.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, we had several things that happened with, he's our deputy in charge. He's the second in command of the FBI. And what we saw just recently, that the Horowitz, who is the inspector general, he's for the Justice Department. I better qualify that. He had an internal review, and he found probable cause for forwarding the information that he reviewed to the FBI. And the FBI took a look at it, and they're called the Office of Personal, Office of Professional Responsibility. It's like your internal investigation staff of the police
department. Right, internal affairs.
And, internal affairs. So they investigated it, and they said, you can't do that. These are allegations for misconduct. He said, no, this was misconduct.
Yeah.
And they told him, you better, just go away.
And he knew that.
Yeah, he knew that.
He knew that, but isn't he planning on fighting it? Didn't he claim that was all just politically motivated?
Yeah, but he leaked the information to the Wall Street Journal
regarding
an ongoing FBI, corruption investigation with the Clinton Foundation.
Yep.
You just don't do that.
No.
And that's the problem that Christopher Steele had. He leaked the information to Yahoo, which is used part of the dossier, for getting the warrant. In other words, they used the dossier in Yahoo information gathering as a source, but it was the same source. They're building a case that was the same person to build the case. You see how fallacious that is?
Yeah, and it wasn't verified.
Yeah,
it wasn't substantiated.
Well, let's talk about that part. Now you had to verify it. So I'm laughing because it's so serious. It's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking at here is a understanding who are the sources. Did the FBI check the sources in Russia? It doesn't appear
apparently
any of that was done. They relied on Christopher Steele's former allegiance with the FBI. It's probably the CIA, too, with Brennan or Petraeus. When he was a full-fledged MI6 special agent. If he did things before that, it comes under a different category because it's agencies working with agencies and it's non-disclosed, but once it reaches a FISA warrant area, then it has to be full disclosure to the judges. If there wasn't full disclosure to the judges, and you can't verify the sources, and then you have a real problem. And I think that's the case here, and it's pretty evident. And that's why Trey Gowdy, Charles Grassley, and Lindsey Graham are saying this is not normal. This is unusual for finding a warrant, and they know Trey Gowdy was a prosecutor. He said, "This is crazy as crazy gets."
Well, did they indicate to the judge that that source had been confirmed and checked out? I mean, or did they just kind of gloss that part over?
I have no idea. That's why they want a special counsel.
Yeah,
it's just. It seems if it's politicized and weaponized and they didn't really do the proper background checks, here's what's supposed to be done. You're supposed to check the source, then have it counter-checked, then cross-checked.
Mm-hmm.
If those three processes weren't done for a FISA warrant, that's a big problem.
Yeah,
and that's what everybody's saying.
It's not valid.
It's not valid. That's right. So think of that. It has to be checked, so you have to check them, then say he handed it off to McCabe or two other agents or somebody in the CIA to cross-check it, and then they in turn handed it off to somebody overseas to counter-check the cross-check of the check, then you pretty much have something that can be substantiated as evidence for the FISA court for the warrant.
Right.
So I think I was pretty straightforward with that.
Yeah, yeah. And they've said straight away, since this whole thing started, that it doesn't look like any of that was really done.
That's what we're all saying. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't want to get political at all in this. If it was politicized and weaponized, it's as terrible can be. Because like I said earlier when we started this, we have people in the field doing covert operations across the board. Well, it's in the foreign services. It's in the CIA. It's everywhere. It's on our borders. It's with the MI6. It's with the DEA. DEA's all over the world, trying to stop the drug trafficking. As you know, the drug trafficking in the United States is somewhere between $250 billion and $750 billion. It's a lot of, influence peddling just by them being in the United States.
God, no kidding.
With that amount of money.
Right. Well, so the problem
why
is
so serious because if you're doing counterterrorism work and espionage work and all these people are out there, they can get killed.
Right.
Or the families can be compromised or the kids can be kidnapped.
And if you've got somebody at the top leaking information, you have to act on that. Otherwise, you're just sending a message downstream that kind of activity is okay. For the field agent,
if you
he can leave.
If you don't like the way things are going, you just flip
it off to the...
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it set a field downstream, but if it's from the top and it's compromised, you don't know what's going on, and you're out there, and they're not going to say anything because they have plausible deniability if something happens to you. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's worse than worse can be.
Yeah, that's...
So who compromised you? To what extent you've been compromised, and was your family compromised, too?
Right.
In order to get a hold of you. There's a, this goes on, and it's untenable to me that this we should be even talking about this at this extent.
Has this ever happened before?
Pardon?
Has this really ever happened before? Did we just not, those of us who weren't really paying attention to this stuff,
No, not during the presidential election.
But
remember that Perkins and Cole...
Right.
Was the arm for this law firm that sponsored the DNC and Hillary Clinton to give the money to Christopher Steele. See what I mean? That's a big difference.
And they were attorneys for Fusion GPS, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they were the go-between. They represented the DNC and Hillary Clinton that gave Christopher Steele the money. And they probably had some dealings, of course, with Fusion GPS. That's how they maybe got him the money.
Mm-hmm.
They could have did it a different way. I don't know. But, that's a logical conclusion you're drawing. But they may have done it that way or they may have not. I don't know what the actual transaction was. See what I mean?
Right.
You have to see how the money was given to Christopher Steele. Was it done through Fusion, GPS or not? Or was it just done to him directly in London or, through his other firms. He has his own firms, too, Orbis and that. So.
How much are these guys sweating out potential, a special counsel and investigation and all that stuff? It would seem like they should be kind of worried.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we look at, Andrew McCabe testified that no surveillance warrant would have been sought from FISA without the Steele dossier information. So,
oops.
If he goes before a, special counsel, it looks like he's going to have some major problems.
Yeah, major.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to go, I don't want to be hyperbolic with the,
Yeah, we have enough of that out there.
Yeah.
That part's being handled.
You see, I'm keeping an even keel here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Do you think as a result?
What the Wall Street Journal was talking about.
Third time's charm.
We knew what happened 7 years ago to Christopher Steele. He was outed himself when he was a special agent in the field when he's working in France. So he had to get out of his own, secret agent detail and go back to London. So whatever they did, they did. Then subsequent to that time, he became a independent contractor, investigator, you know, and they recruited him for his special agent skills as being a Russian specialist himself. And that's where all this comes into play.
Right.
So the Wall Street Journal article even talks about it in the sense that how could he put together such important information in a short period of time and give it to the Justice Department and the FBI for them to confirm. And it even talks about it in how I think about it. How could it have eluded the CIA, FBI, MI6, and every other Western intelligence agency that they couldn't come to some conclusion about it themselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's far beyond...
Yeah.
You know, scope of
yeah, I don't
you know, what
think
we're talking
did.
About. And that's why a special counsel needs to be, Jeff Sessions has to, you know, take the steps necessary to make a special counsel available just for the FISA warrant here. And this is huge in a sense that this is everything that national security is predicated on for covert operations. And like I said, all our friends out there in the intelligence community and law enforcement are doing all this covert operations work. I'm just really concerned about you and your families that this has to be done in a proper and fitting manner. And that's what Trey Gowdy's talking about and Lindsey Graham's talking about, Charles Grassley. This can never, ever be weaponized politically, and it appears to be so.
Mm-hmm. So we obviously have to make some changes and have more oversight.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to let's talk about that. Do you think this will instigate any changes in the process? But we'll take a break and then... We'll do that, yeah.
You can find the document we keep referring to at wethepeopleradio.us. It's at the bottom of the page. Yeah, that's what Andrew McCabe and those guys thought.
Mm-hmm.
You can read your mind.
Yeah.
All right, Bill had a burning question that...
Well, Bruce, I think with the as far as the FISA goes...
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant.
Oh, Mike. Excuse me, Mike. Excuse me, Mike. I was talking.
Hold on. I think the NSA had a burst in for...
Yeah.
That happens on my phone a lot.
As far as the FISA goes, the system... it's been in place since the 70s, and I think it works.
I think we established it was since I was a junior in high school.
You were a junior in high school, since you were a young child.
Remember when she went to her junior prom.
That's right. Now it just seems like lately, every time there's a violation or somebody runs astray of the law, we run out and want to change the laws and so it doesn't happen again. Do you see that happening within this case, or... Do you think we're just going to prosecute and leave the system alone? Because I think the system works if you have honest people within the system. And if
as you saw, I put the Brennan Center report on FISA,
yeah.
The changes that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the FISA court problem is FISA. It's pretty obvious that there are some inherent problems, you know, with the Fourth Amendment and, you know, and how it's going to be addressed. And that's how they issued the warrant. It wasn't for, you know, Michael Flynn at all. It was for, Christopher Page and stuff. But
right.
Carter Page.
excuse me, Carter Page. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
There's Lisa Page, who was the FBI.
I know, who is
Carter Page. Thank you.
Sleeping with what's his name, and this is like one of those soap operas.
Yeah.
Well, that's
it will be before it's all done.
It has that tinge to it, which you know they'll cover it in an item on the news media's and they'll draw that in there. But you know, if that does come into play, it's a national security problem where people have been compromised, then it should be brought forward. But like I'm saying, if it was a normal relationship and these people, you know, were attracted to each other, that's the way it was. Washington's a small group of people.
Mm-hmm.
People meet at, you know,
sure.
different places, and that's okay in my book, you know. But like we saw with General Petraeus, and, you know, that went beyond the scope, and he was head of the CIA, so you have to, you know, call that into question as he could have been compromised. So.
Right.
Well, the last item on here said one of the recommendations was, as the U.S. Supreme Court has jurisdiction over all federal courts, you know, what role can the Supreme Court play to ensure U.S. Constitution's been adhered to or not violated and ensure that the FISA judges in the executive branch have acted in accord with the Constitution? So one of the things, little blurbs here, was robust peer review every 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I put in there myself.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that's a good note.
Counterchecks and cross-checks by the Supreme Court on the FISA court to make sure, because technology's changing all the time.
Yep.
Right.
The espionage rules, and you know, they were talking about waterboarding, you know, and you know,
big fan.
Appointing people and you know, having the, you know, how we do black ops, and you know, it was okay one time, and okay, it's not, and then it worked, but they don't want to say it worked, and you know, I don't want to get into that discussion about you know how that comes into play, but we want to look at the FISA warrant itself, and. It does have inherent problems if you don't keep it under review. That's all I'm saying. And robust peer review by the Supreme Court.
Well, right. Besides that, if people can do things in secret and they know they're never going to be checked,
that's
just stupid.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for your kids. It doesn't. I mean, nowhere in our lives does it work like that. We'll just take everybody's word for it that they're driving the speed limit.
Well, in the past,
we're not going to have highway patrol anymore. We don't need them.
There's never been consequence. I mean, they keep you know bouncing this around, and nobody ever gets called on the carpet. Although McCabe now has been kind of rolled on
the
carpet.
Well, if you look at the, I don't want to rudely interrupt you, but if you look at the Brennan report,
too late.
It was 2015 with Snowden. It did come up, you know, and you know that had a, you know, it threw up a couple red flags. You know, about independent contractor disclosing information, is he guilty of treason? You know, mm-hmm. Same thing with the FISA court. Is there some culpability here which moved over into trying to, you know, influence a government election? And, you know, how does that come into play? Who's involved? You know, they were talking about Cheryl Mills and CIA Director John Brennan. So, you know, how does that play with what they did with Special Agent MI6 Christopher Steele? You need to ask those questions. And how did the warrants, who signed off on the warrants themselves? So those are all really important facets to which needs to be addressed by the Supreme Court, which has that robust peer review, and then by the Justice Department, which needs to review itself, and then you have the FBI, has the Internal Affairs, the investigative unit, to address that too. So you have these checks, but it didn't appear nobody was doing any of that to ensure the integrity of the FISA court. That's what I'm saying. I think that's pretty clear what I just said.
It's kind of interesting that it's run this long without kind of going off the rails. It's actually a pretty long time. I mean, I haven't been in high school for quite some time.
Well, it starts at the top, you know. If you got somebody that respects the system and uses it the way it's supposed to be used, you don't have a problem. But obviously this time, I think there was an attempt to influence an election, and it started right at the top.
It's pretty interesting, the idea that Donald Trump, you know, being president, made this many people freak out that bad that they're willing to lose, you know, $1 million pension and, you know, all these things. If this was that. I don't know. This was that hysterical for them that I don't know if they liked Hillary that much or they just disliked him, you know, disliked him more. What do you think? What do you think the difference was on this one? We've had elections, you know, every 4 years.
Well, the
we're drawing him into the politics. Can you hear him thinking?
Yeah,
I can hear his wheels turning. He's like, I don't want to answer that.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
Come on, just do it.
I don't want to go there.
It'll feel good.
You're pushing.
Just say what you think. You'll like it.
Let it go.
The politics part of it, because I try to deal on pure national security and not play favorites on either side, I think the FISA warrant process has been violated. It's a national security grave concern.
Right.
And people have to be brought on the table for it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because that is that
they
is
need to go to jail.
Yeah, that's something you just can't compromise.
That's the bottom line, but you have to see how this all played out. Now you had other people that were involved, like we were talking about those two FBI agents earlier. You know, you had mentioned them that were having a relationship between themselves, and then their text messages were brought forward. You know, and you know they were talking about how they didn't want Trump elected.
Right.
Like that. So you know you have.
Yeah, their issues and motivation were pretty clear. I mean, we don't have to make up motives for them.
No.
Well,
was they didn't want Hillary Clinton charged, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's true. There
they
was
didn't
that.
Want Donald Trump to win.
Yeah, there was definitely a double standard there.
Yeah, so that was Storch and Page. That's why I say there's two pages, you know, Carter and Lisa.
Right.
I get all my pages mixed up because I got, like...
Gotta make sure you're on the right page.
Information here.
Well, tell me this. How likely do you think it is that we're... doing special counsel on this, just from what you've seen or heard?
I think they should do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the integrity of the FISA warrant itself and the process and how you obtain it. That's where we go. If it had problems, like we were looking at the Brennan report here back in 15, you know, with the how to look at a FISA warrant, and is a person guilty of treason or not? I thought myself that Snowden should have went through the system, and I would look at it as more as treasonous to go the other way. And then he went over, you know, it stuff like that. So
right,
yeah.
And his dad went to help him out, and that. So you know, it's problematic because he's an independent contractor too. You know, he wasn't. Now, see, there's an independent contractor, and we have hundreds of thousands of them that have access to this kind of information, and then he disclosed things which was actually true, you know?
Right.
But how you do it, you see what I mean?
Right, it does matter.
That's what they're saying here, that the FISA process, according to what Snowden did, has to be clarified. What you do with whistleblowers, a lot of them are cast aside and
right.
shut up, you know? And you're seeing that, and that happened with the one case that been in the news quite a bit too. That was with the CFIUS process and a fellow who had done all the work on the yellow cake with the uranium,
right.
Uranium One they call it. So there's a whole slew of issues here, but this one in particular, the FISA warrant problem, has to be addressed because this is the pinnacle.
It's a biggie.
It's the pinnacle of what you need to do to protect.
We have killed an hour.
Go to a judge in a secret court to get it done.
Trying to kill the hour. We have.
Thank you, Bruce.
We have to stick a fork in it. It's time to go home and try out Bill's barbecue.
Okay, are we done for?
We are. We are. You're free. You're free to move about the cabin.
We could talk another hour, probably. But
oh, we definitely could.
We'll do it again.
We're gonna have you back, Bruce.
Thanks a million. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.